continue that this week. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Luke 22? We're going to keep looking at serving in the eyes of the Bible. And the title of this morning's message is Jesus Served Our Greatest Need. Jesus served our greatest need. And I want to plug in on that word great or greatest. And so I looked it up, and greatest, defined by Webster's, is this: the quality or state of being great, as in size, skill, achievement, or power. So then my mind starts wandering, and I think of things like the greatest athlete of all time. Who would you say the greatest athlete of all time is? Bo Jackson was on the list. Yeah, Michael Jordan, Jim Thorpe. How many of you ever heard of Jim? I had to look him up. I didn't know who that guy was. Deion Sanders could have played in the NBA, MLB, and of course did play in the NFL. This is a good one. Greatest basketball player of all time. Michael Jordan. The millennials would say LeBron James. And then we might have some folks. Yeah, we might have some folks that would say Kobe Bryant. That's interesting. So then I was looking at different things. So I wanted to see how many people had the greatest number of followers on things like Instagram. Who do you think has the absolute most followers on Instagram? Oprah, yeah, that's a good one. Selena Gomez has 138 million. Some of you are going to need to Google her. You don't know who she is. Cristiano Ronaldo is a soccer player who plays for, yeah, there you go. Some of you know him. And then Ariana Grande with 121 million. Cristiano Ronaldo has 128 million. So then I wanted to look at Twitter. Who do you think is the greatest number of followers on Twitter? You're never going to get this one. Katy Perry. I know. I was like, well, clearly some people didn't unfollow her from like 10 years ago. Barack Obama is number two. And then Justin Bieber. Yeah, I know. And then finally, the greatest band of all times. What would you say? What are some bands? The Beatles, number one, the Beatles. Followed by Led Zeppelin, and then the Rolling Stones. Oh, Garcia is all about the Rolling Stones. I'm going to need to check your playlist, ma'am. But let's take a look. I hope you found your way to Luke 22. Let's take a look at how Jesus defines greatest. Luke 22, verse 24. But before we read that, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, Lord. I thank you for just an awesome service so far. Father, I don't want to have to follow worship like that. But Lord, I pray that you would speak. You'd use my mouth to speak your word. Father, what a privilege it is this morning to be in service together with all of these folks, with family, God. Father, I pray that you would just move in our hearts, that we would hear from your word, and we would be good soil ready to receive it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Luke 22, 24 through 27. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. You know, I just asked a couple of questions as to who was the greatest. We already heard a little bit of rumbling. Like if I said LeBron James is the greatest athlete, people would argue, right? We dispute things like the greatest. You cannot listen to ESPN ever and not hear the greatest question of who the greatest quarterback of all time is, right? They always argue that. I hate Tom Brady, but he's clearly the greatest of all time, right? But then there might be some folks that, no, Joe Montana. Right? Or maybe some more. So we argue about the greatest all the time. We're going to find ourselves here in Scripture. The disciples are arguing this very same thing. Who's the greatest? So they're disputing amongst each other as to which of them is regarded as the greatest. And he said to them, Jesus, he said, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. He's using a worldly example that we even understand. Is he saying, hey, people in authority are greater than, right? We understand that. You get to work, and if you've taken your boss's parking spot, you're going to find out about it because he's greater than you. In your household, you can act big, but you know she is in charge. She is greater than you, right? We understand these things, right? Like, people in, he's saying the kings, or in our cases, the people who are in position are greater, and therefore they exercise authority. He says, that's the way it is in the world. And we understand that. These people, all those names of bands or athletes or anybody we describe, they're attributed some sort of special skill that has put them up above. It could be position, it could be skill, it could be anything, but there's a pecking order, and whoever's at the top is greater. That's what Jesus is saying here. But verse 26, he says this, but not so with you. So we see a turn here, something that's going to be counterintuitive. What we understand as greatness is about to be turned on its head. Jesus is saying, that's the way the world works, but that's not how it works here. Not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest. Immediately, my mind started thinking of the kids' table at Thanksgiving. I'm pretty sure on my mom's side of the family, I sat at the kids' table at Thanksgiving at her mom's house till I was like 15. She can fact check me because she's here this morning. My mom and dad are here this morning, so I got to watch my illustrations. But she's probably going to say, Chris, you weren't at the kids' table till you're 15. I say, yes, I was. That's how scarred I am. I remember. I remember. Because what's at the young table, right? You're sitting with all the little tiny kids. See, we were the oldest on that side of the family, me and my sister, and I'm pretty sure she got promoted to the adult table. So I was the oldest little kid at the kids' table. The food's not as good. The conversation certainly isn't as good. You understand your pecking order at the kids' table, right? You just do not fit in over there. And I think that's what Jesus is saying here. If you're going to be great, you've got to become as the youngest, right? When we go and have a meal, there's a special place for generally the patriarch of the family, the head of the table. And as Jesus is saying, but I want to change your thinking of what great is, he's saying you have to become as the youngest. Kids are supposed to be seen, not... Yeah, y'all know that too. Y'all sat at the kids' table. And the leader as one who serves. The leader as one who serves. So here we're going to see a connection where he's talking about greatness, he's talking about leadership, and he's connecting it to servanthood. One time I had a banker that worked for me at Wells Fargo, and we had a great relationship, and I asked him, I said, hey, who's the greatest manager you ever worked for? That was a beach ball question. He should have said me, but he did not. And he told me it was Shelley Madison was who he said. And some of you know this was Dave Vega, said Shelley Madison is the greatest manager. And I was a little hurt. My booty was a little sore. And I said, well, what makes her so great? And he said, the thing about her is we get a goal as a team, and she divides the goal up, and she takes part of the goal as her responsibility. She contributes as the team. And I remember as a manager, I was a young manager, I was in my first, it was an in-store grocery store bank, kids' table of banking. And that, what he told me that day stuck with me for my entire time at Wells Fargo. Is the greatest manager that he ever worked for was a serving manager. The greatest leader that he had had showed the way, led by example of saying, hey, I'm going to assign this to you, but I'm also going to take on this responsibility. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Is he saying, for a leader to be great, they have to be a servant. Somebody that's willing to put in the time, roll up the sleeves, be alongside the team, be a servant leader. Verse 27, for who is greater, one who reclines at the table or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I, and they know at this point in time, they know who Jesus is. They understand just how great he is. They know that he's the Messiah. And he says this, but I am among you as the one who serves. And Jesus is giving that perfect example of a leader. And he is defining what greatness is. So I want to you know, some people, we talked last week about serving. We're talking about serving this week as Jesus is defining it. And I know that some folks think, well, Chris, what can I do? In what ways can I serve? And I wanted to put up a phone number that you can text to be a part of. So let's say you don't know any way that you can be involved. We have needs in our media team. We have needs in the children's ministry. We have needs in the student ministry. If you don't know of a way and you'd like to get involved because you heard last week, you're hearing this week that the greatest among you is a servant. We're expected to serve. We should be serving. Serving should define us as Christians. But I know that some people are like, but I just don't know how to get involved. I don't know where to serve. I don't know how to serve. We want to help you. Did they throw that? Yes, they did. Text this and say, I want to serve. You can text a specific area. But you know what? We're talking about in reference to church. But there are other ways you can serve. You can serve around the house. Your wife would love for you to serve around the house. You can certainly volunteer at church. We saw yesterday, we saw many people donate things to the homeless. I'm betting that your closet could use a good summer cleaning. Well, let me tell you, at Under Over, they need your clothes. You can serve in that way. You can send somebody an encouraging note. Hey, I was thinking about you. I just wanted you to know I'm praying for you. I appreciate you. That's serving somebody. You can deliver a meal. Where's the beams? There were a few meals came y'all's direction. I was so proud of our church. The Meals on Wheels. You might say, hey, I don't know anybody. Don't worry. Text this number. Say, Meal on Wheels. We would love to get you plugged in. When somebody goes to the hospital, we want them to beg us to stop sending meals. But we have a group of folks that has said, hey, I don't mind preparing a meal. And if you go to the hospital, if you let me know, we're going to have people lined up at your door ready to have meals. You can jump in on that. You can watch somebody's kids. Some of you have like 15 kids. It'd be awesome if somebody would watch your kids. That's expensive. You can listen to somebody. You know, my biggest problem is I like to solve everyone's problems. You know, they come, they set up a counseling appointment or something, and they're like, hey, Chris, I need to talk to you. And I feel like I'm getting in trouble because I'm doing this. And in my mind, I'm like, well, then just stop doing that. Next, right? I have to learn to just pause and listen. But you know, we get to do that. The Lord has planted us in different areas, in your workplace, in your families, to where you can just be a listening ear. You can serve them that way. You can be a big brother, a big sister. I know in the school systems, they have these. They have underprivileged kids that would love to be able to meet somebody. Umberto goes every Thursday, and he has two kids that he takes to lunch. He is their big brother. He's talking to them about school. He's talking to them about activities afterwards. He's buying them a meal, Chick-fil-A, because it's heavenly. And, you know, he just loves on them. And that's a great way to serve in the community. You can volunteer at the food bank. You can volunteer at Under Over. Guys, there's tons of ways to serve. And as we're continuing this series on serving, we see that Jesus says the greatest people serve. So there's a couple things that I want us to take away this morning. If Jesus defined greatness as serving, the first thing is we need to have a proper expectation. A proper expectation. Jesus is looking for serving participators, not sitting spectators. Church, we need to hear this, is Jesus wants us activated. This conversation that he's having with his disciples is there is a proper expectation that they would follow his example and be servants. Guys, we have to engage this world, and how he wants us to engage them is to serve them. In any number of ways, volunteering at church or any of those other things we talked about, for us to get up and start serving. God wants people to see him through our service. When's the last time you went to Chick-fil-A and they ran out of soap in the bathroom? When's the last time they ran out of paper towels? When's the last time that you asked for something, they didn't absolutely give you two or three more than you asked for and said it was their pleasure? When's the last time you went through their drive-thru and it took more than like 30 seconds to get through? It's interesting because Chick-fil-A has owned service, haven't they? They have three lines in their drive-thru. They've taken out the parking on the right side just so they can get more people through it. But you know what I love about it? They have set the standard on service. And what's great about that is now we evaluate. You ever walked into Burger King after going to Chick-fil-A? You tiptoe because the floor is dirty. And you're like, can I have an extra sauce? It's going to be 30 cents. Have y'all visited Chick-fil-A? We have come to expect great service when we go to Chick-fil-A. You know what? The church should be known as the place full of servants. Much like they have owned service, we should own service. Man, have y'all heard about that church right next to Incredible Pizza? What's their name? I don't know, but they're serving everybody. Man, don't tell them you're sick. You have 15 people at your door with food. Right? We should be. So there is a proper expectation. The Lord wants people to see him through us and our activities of serving. Number two, we need to have a right understanding about serving. We do not serve for salvation. We serve from salvation. Got a few amens on that one. Let's say that one again. We do not serve for salvation. You do not earn your way into the kingdom. You do not have to serve to benefit. You don't have to serve to move up in position. No, we serve because Jesus died for us and we want to share that with others. Because of what he did, we want to go now tell everybody about it. We want to serve them. You know, my mom and dad are here. One thing that I have enjoyed doing over the last couple of years, I like to, on my dad's birthday, I like to go pick him up. He's in Tennessee, and we go to Gatlinburg, and we go skiing. You know, I love to do that because he loves to do that. He's one of those difficult people to buy for, you know? Like, he has everything already, and you're like, you buy him something, and he puts it on the shelf next to four others just like it, and you're like, oh. But I have found a gift that he really likes. I will drive all the way to Tennessee, we'll scoop him up, and we'll go skiing for the day in Gatlinburg. He loves it. I love it. It's a great time. But you know what? I do not have to do that to be his son. I do it because I love my dad. Do you see the difference? I do not have to earn position. I'm the only son. It's great. But yet I still make that drive to Tennessee. We pick him up and then what's even better is we're both in the military, so we get like a 70% discount. It's great. But I do that because I love him. And that's what the Lord wants us to do, is have a right understanding. We don't serve so that we can get closer to Jesus. He already died on the cross and got you as close as you can get. But we serve because of that great love for him, that he has that great love he has for us. And it's just like we want people to see Jesus through our actions. Amen. Number three, correct alignment. We serve to have correct alignment. I loved what Sarah shared this morning about her five-year-old. Why can't I just pray and God give me the answer? I think that's a reasonable question. But I love the way Sarah put that, is saying, look, prayer is not something that we do or ask and have this big genie in the sky fulfill these requests, and depending on how holy you are, the answer is either yes or no. No. Prayer brings us in alignment with his will. It prepares our hearts, our lives, our way of thinking. And man, there's a lot of times we need to be praying before we're moving, right? Well, let me tell you, as prayer positions us in better alignment with God's will, serving positions us to look more like Jesus. Because he could have done a lot of things. And we talked about this last week. He is the creator of the universe. He is the Messiah, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the bright and morning star. And what did he come to do? Serve. And when we serve, we look more like Jesus than any other time. So when we serve, it brings alignment with us. And I know people ask, well, Chris, I don't really make a difference in anything I'm doing. Yesterday, with all the folks, we had folks cleaning and Cloroxing. We had folks folding donated clothes. We had, there was, I'm pretty sure, a million barrels or wheelbarrows full of dirt that we carried, didn't we, Daryl? It was about a million. Felt like a million. And then we had folks sanding crosses. Some of y'all saw the crosses that they brought. And what was interesting to me is one of the pastors came up as it was about lunchtime, and he said, you know, the one thing that always shocks him is people just don't realize the impact that they're having when they come to serve. And yeah, I mean, it just didn't feel like we, you know, I didn't see anybody get saved or baptized or anything like that. And so sometimes it can get lost, those little acts of service. And Pastor Pascal is his name, and he said this, every second of work that is done here is work that we don't have to do so that it allows us to now share Jesus. And he said, everything y'all do here helps advance the gospel. And he said, it is more significant than you could ever imagine. That's the same way when you call up that friend. You have no idea what they're going through, and you say, hey, I just want to say I'm praying for you, I love you, and I just want to encourage you. You don't know what you've done for them. The Meals on Wheels, you don't know what a family's struggling through. Being on the media team, you don't know. There are some folks that serve back there every week that would love to probably get just a Sunday with their family here. By you serving, you're allowing them the benefit of worshiping together. I'm telling you, kids ministry, the same. We have some faithful people that they're there every week, blood, sweat, and tears, taking care of our kiddos. And I say blood because my son's in there. Every little thing you do brings you in alignment with Jesus, and it has an impact. And number four, and this is the final one, when we serve, this is our true purpose. We should live a lifestyle of servanthood. I recently saw a meme. It said, husbands are funny creatures. They take out the trash one time and they act like they've cleaned the whole house. That's so me. But sometimes in church, it's kind of like those funny creatures. You do one little thing and you act like you do everything. Sometimes in church, we'll serve once and we feel like, okay, that took care of 2019. I'll serve again next year. But you know what? The Lord wants us to live a lifestyle of serving. Find ways to serve. Anytime serve. We should look for ways. Hey, call up the church. Nancy, wouldn't it be great if people were just hitting our phone? Hey, how can I get involved? How can I serve? And this is what the Lord wants us to know, is he wants us to be servants at such a level that people say, hey, that's a servant. That's a servant. Man, they serve all the time. And I wanted to acknowledge you, Billy. Billy is everywhere. He's one of our life group leaders. Yesterday he came to Under Over. He comes to the Tuesday night Bible study. This guy is everywhere. If the church is open, Billy's there. And he's probably very uncomfortable right now. But I saw yesterday, I kept trying to outpace him with the wheelbarrows, but he kept lapping me because people wanted to talk to me. I was glad people wanted to talk to me. But Billy kept, so I would be on like, you know, 537 wheelbarrow, and Billy's on 538. And I was like, man, he's beating me. And then I'd turn around, he's on 539. I'm like, no! But I was so blessed, Billy, because it's like when the church is open, you're here. If there's an opportunity for anything, he's here. And I was so encouraged by that as a pastor, because you want people that have a lifestyle of servanthood. So Billy, thank you for that. Thank you for leading in that way. And guys, we should be that way. We should find ways that people say, hey, that guy, if you need something, call him. Or that lady, man, she's always about Jesus' business. She's gonna do whatever she can to help you and support you. That's what the Lord wants for us. In Hebrews 6:10, it says this, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and to continue to help them. We started off this morning talking about great athletes, great basketball players, band members, Twitter, Instagram, and so on. And what was interesting is different places that I went sometimes would, you know, maybe LeBron was over Michael, depending on which website and which report you looked at. But there was one category that was undisputed I looked this up. On every resource that I found on Google was the greatest person in history. Every list had this one person as the greatest person in history. And I was very encouraged by this. Every list had Jesus Christ as the greatest person in history. Yeah, amen. Well, in verse 27, that greatest person in history is answering the question of who's the greatest. And he said this, "But I am among you as the one who serves." So the greatest person in history served our greatest need so that we could serve others. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.